Well, some would say it's debatable which category he falls into, whether it's saints or sinners, but Sean Defoe joins us on the line, fresh from his travel stateside. Good to hear you, Sean.
Hi, Ollie. I like to play a bit of both, you know, it depends on the day you get me on.
Well, there you have it. That's being very honest and upfront and all the rest of it. But listen, welcome back. Your feet are only touching the ground. You're only back since yesterday, is it?
That's it. The jet lag is well and truly kicked in now. And yeah, I've been in hopping between time zones and different radio slots at 3 a.m. in the morning US time, and a touch base from St. Patrick's Day over in the States. So yeah, it's been a buzz of a week.
See, this is Sean's life, rubbing shoulders with the rich and famous and those in power and the corridors of all of that. But literally, you've been to the White House how many times at this stage?
How many times? Good. This was the third time, I think. So I've been over to the States of Paddy's here four times, and obviously last year didn't get to go to the White House because the Altisha got COVID, which shut everything down. But this year, no such problems. And yeah, it's fascinating. It's always fascinating to see it. And I love, especially when there are other journalists on the trip who've never been there, and you sort of always have the same reactions that, you know, particularly the press room and the Oval Office.
Yes.
They're so much smaller than you think. Like, they're not like see on House of Cards or on, you know, some of those shows. Like, they're, yeah, really much, much smaller by comparison. But the actual White House is this Warren. It's so big. Then itself, you know, they use so many different areas and different
designed
offices
by
and
an Irishman.
Designed by an Irishman.
James Holman.
They have that plastered everywhere as well. Yeah, based off of Leinster House, the same architecture design, Leinster House, of course, James Holman who did it. But yeah, look, it was fascinating. It was interesting being in, this is my first time being in Biden's White House, so seeing how it was different to Trump's. It was funny, when we were there the last time for Trump, we were 30, 40 minutes in the Oval Office. He took every question going, and then Biden didn't even take a single question this time around. He was like, no, brought us in, did their statements or whatever, and then kicked straight out. So you could never shut Trump up, of course. That was part of his problem, but a different administration now.
I remember hearing a story, and I would say it's true because it came from a reliable journalist, about having lunch with him or dinner with him or whatever the case was, some of the press corps, and came to dessert time and all the rest of it. But Trump's dessert was so much bigger than everybody else's.
Of course, it would have to be, wouldn't it?
It would have to be.
But listen, everything is larger than life. Yeah.
Well, now you got it. What's the security clearance like there? Or do they just recognize you having been there three times? Like, God, Sean, come on in.
No, it's rough enough now. So you have to obviously go and get visa. And security stuff is all done beforehand, a lot of it, and then at the White House you have to, you know, you give up your bags are sort of sniffed by dogs and they're scanned, and you go through all this. You have to have like on the day itself I was given this little badge, this little pin, and it wasn't sticking very well to my jacket, you know, it kept sort of slipping, and I said to them, I was like, is this very important? And they were like, yeah, sir, that's the badge to make sure the Secret Service know not to shoot you.
Oh my god.
Yes, it is important, you should probably keep that displayed as prominently as
better sticker stuff on it, can I say?
Yeah, this is what I was saying, you know, could you not get something better? So I was kind of conscious all day that wasn't going to fall, because
I'm
you
too
could.
Young.
Yeah, this is it. But like, it wasn't so, you could see the snipers on the roof, and there were snipers on the roof of the Congress building as well. So it's not exactly like they were overly bluffing. They had the leader of the free world there, you know, and all these other different dignitaries that were coming in. So tied enough, all right. But thankfully, the pin made it through the day.
Do you get the sense of power in the place? The sense of, you know, supreme leader and all the rest of it?
I don't as much because I've been there a few times now, you know, I remember the first time you certainly did. It's like, wow, okay, this is, but again, when you're 5 foot away from somebody, you don't really get that aura off them. I don't find, you see it much more on the television or when they're making national addresses, but particularly for St. Patrick's Day, it's usually a bit more of a giddy mood. Like, they're not there to talk about China or Russia or you know, TikTok and 5G and all this sort of stuff. They're really there for the bit of fun, especially the president, you know, and a lot of them talking about their ancestry and all this sort of stuff. So it's a little bit of a different vibe.
Stuff,
bit. Now, there was more, you did get it a bit more the last time I was there for Trump, because him and Pelosi were at loggerheads, and the Democrats and the Republicans. There was a bit more, like, it was a higher tension, put it that way, in the United States than there is at the minute. And I did pick that up on previous trips, but not so much this time around. This time, whenever Republicans and Democrats met, they were talking about their Irish grandparents rather than trying to bring each other's necks. So there was that side of it.
Well, now, we're almost smack out of time, such as our interest in Washington and White House and all the rest of it. But Beethoven, and if I can just use the studio piano here for a sec, just one little sec, give it a little clue here. Yeah, my attempt at Beethoven's Fifth.
God, you're very good.
Oh, thanks
very,
so
that's
much,
more than I could have done. You know, I could maybe do Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, and that's about it.
But he's in the news. He's been on Twitter. Well, of course, attributes to him, let's just say.
Yeah, not even that would be quite the story.
Indeed, yeah. Re-locks of his hair and finding out who he really was. And
this is mad. So apparently loads of locks of Beethoven's hair were sort of kept. He like encouraged friends of his on his deathbed to take cuttings of his hair. As you do, you know, for posterity and all that. But they've been handed down to families and collectors down through the years, and now DNA testing has gotten to such a point where they're pretty much diagnosed, you know, trying to find out what he died from.
Yes.
Because he had progressive hearing loss, not great for a man in his profession, obviously, and gut problems and severe liver disease and all this sort of stuff. And they were saying he might have had hepatitis B, that he probably was a bit too fond of the gargle as well, which is another thing that led to his death. But then also, they've been able to use this to sort of test his ancestry. And one of the fascinating things is there is a break somewhere, so they were able to get the DNA of one of his great-great-grandparents. There is a break somewhere in that chain, so he might not actually be a Van Beethoven of the Van Beethovens that his ancestor was. And there's a bunch of people who thought they were related to Beethoven who now have discovered that they aren't, though they share the same name and have been dining out on that residency for donkey's years. So all this sort of stuff been thrown up by a man saying, here, take a clip of my hair there while I die beside you.
What it all leads to. Now, very quickly, your explainer. Have you had time to rest on that, or what's going on?
Yes, fantastic one that I recorded a few weeks ago, and put out today about Ireland's first satellite. I've been out to UCD to talk to the people who build Ireland's first satellite, which is due to launch this year, and listen to the thing to find out all about it. But my most fun quote, I suppose, out of it was, it is small. It's a really small thing. It's smaller than a computer, but so small that to transport it to the rocket that's going to launch it up, they bring it an airport as carry-on on the plane through the airport. So some very, very funny stories from the guys I spoke to. Well, this is it. They've literally had to put it into the overhead lockers and try to avoid people putting their duty free on Ireland's first satellite. So yeah, check out Let Me Explain wherever you get your podcast. Some really good stories there.
Looking forward to that one. Sean Defoe, look him up. Let Me Explain. You will find it anywhere you find your podcast, and always well worth a listen. Sean, listen, thank you so much for taking the call. Have a good rest of the week, all right? Watch
you
that
too,
jet
Ollie.
Lag.
Talk See to you now. Bye. Bye.